Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we come asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us this morning as we get into your word. Now, Father, we ask you to bless this day. And Father, I'm asking you to bless each one that belongs to this ministry, that has any part of it. Make them whole, Father. Also open their hearts, their eyes and their ears to your word so that they can grow strong, Father, and walk in the Spirit and do the things that you will call upon us to do, Father, individually as well as a church. Father, you know our situation. We are in your hands. Help us now, Father, according to your will and your way. And we ask all of this, Father, this morning, be with Dennis as he brings the message you give him, and bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Dennis.
Good morning. All right, so before we get started, I want to talk to you a little bit about some stuff. Not really stuff that's going on per se in the world, but stuff that is going on in the world. Just want to, because of the season that it is, I want to talk to you a little bit about that before I get into today's message. And, you know, the season that we're dealing with right now is Halloween. And you'll have some people out there say that that's all fine and dandy and good for the kids, this, that, and the other. And then you'll have other people that go to the total opposite extreme and say it's straight from the pits of hell. just want to give you just a brief synopsis, not necessarily of Halloween in and of itself, but witchcraft. The fastest growing religion in the United States right now is witchcraft. And that's not even a joke. That's very serious. It truly is the fastest growing religion in the U.S. right now. And yeah, it is a religion. And some things that some people don't realize about witchcraft and all this stuff is paganism. But a lot of these people are actually performing witchcraft and don't even know that they're performing witchcraft. And some other aspects of that falls into these same lines is all these people that are worshiping the earth, you know, the tree huggers and all that stuff, the Green New Deal and all that stuff on the political side. It's all part of witchcraft. It's all part of the paganism because they're putting things above God. Anytime that you put anything above God, you're technically performing the paganism or acting in paganism. But I'm not going to necessarily read the verses. I'm going to tell you where to go to and you can read them for yourself about some of these things. And the first one I'm going to give you is Exodus 22, verse 18. It tells you what God says about witchcraft. And then you have Leviticus 19 and 26, and then Leviticus 20 and 27, Deuteronomy 18, 10 and 11. And then another one that I was, and this is actually a little story that's in there. It's in 1 Samuel 28, and that's talking about the witch of Endor, which is literally the first time witch is mentioned in the Bible. But the rest of it is talking about, you know, talking to the dead, and I don't think they had tarot cards back then, but things of that nature, you know, tarot cards and horoscopes and all that other stuff. That's what all these other verses are talking about, telling you to stay away from it. Stay away from divination and I think it's called macronism, where you're talking to the dead, which is something that we know one of our sisters like to do quite a bit. And then you also have Micah 5:12, which is also talking about that. All of them are things that deal deeply with the occult and witchcraft and paganism as a whole. And these are things that we really need to stay away from. You know, the TV and books and things of that nature have really put all this stuff to the forefront, and by the same token, they've made it seem like it's nothing to it. It's just, you know, it's just something for kids. Well, being as this the fastest growing religion, it tells me that it's not just for kids anymore. Okay, you know, it started out with TV. You know, you had Bewitched on TV. Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and all these different things, and Charmed. You know, they're all casting spells. They're all doing these things that you're not supposed to be doing. And because they had all this stuff on TV, and it kind of set it back in your mind where it really wasn't nothing to it, but they were conditioning you. And over the years, now we've all been conditioned to where we don't even believe that there is such thing as a real witch, but there truly is. The Bible tells us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against spirits and things of that nature. So we need to understand that. The devil is very real. You know, and that's ultimately what they're trying to say, is that the devil's not real and we shouldn't have to worry about the devil. But just wanted to go over that just real quick, just because of what day today is, or tomorrow actually is, you know. And I've actually heard a bunch of Catholics out there saying that, you know, Halloween is a holiday that we actually should be celebrating. And I'm going, well, wait a minute, what's up with this here stuff? But, you know, nonetheless, a bunch of the Catholics are misguided in a lot of different things. So I'm just going to leave that there and leave it alone. Like I say, I highly encourage you to go back and read those verses that I mentioned to you, because they talk deeply about those subjects and those things and things that we need to do. Excuse me. And what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the coming day of the Lord, which, by the way, is heading towards is a heck of a lot faster than most people think. I'm going to be reading it out of Joel because that's one of the very first instances where they're talking about the day of the Lord in any depth. And I want you to pay attention to what it says, because if you've ever read Revelations and understand what Revelations is saying, Joel says the exact same thing as what Revelation says, just not as in depth as what Revelation does, because the book is, I mean, Revelation is what it is. It's revealing. It's letting you know. It's telling you a little bit further, giving you a little bit more information than you had before. But the book of Joel is very good, and it talks about the day of the Lord. And contrary to what a lot of people think, the day of the Lord is not a single day. Okay, a lot of people think it's a day. It's not. It will most likely be a year in length. That's neither here nor there at the moment for what we're discussing. But I want you to, if you would, turn to chapter 2 of the book of Joel. And we're going to read through that. And we may even talk a little bit about it, depending on how much time we got left. But again, pay attention to the words, particularly it talks some things that you'll definitely pick up on from the book of Revelations. Is the darkening of the sky, and then you'll hear about some creatures in the book of Joel. It don't describe what they are, but in the book of Revelations, it tells us that they were like locusts that came out of the pits of hell that were stinging all the people that took the mark of the beast. And then there's some other things that you need to pay attention to. It talks about some horses, which is in Revelation as well. Talks about the moon and the stars going black. It talks about how that it was going to be the worst day that there ever was before and or after. So just pay attention to it. It's a real good book. And the basic theme is not necessarily the day of the Lord, but it's telling you to repent because the day of the Lord is at hand. And that's what we're needing. That's the main message that I'm wanting to get across right now, is we need to be prepared to be repentant, and because we don't have much more time. And before I get into the reading, I just want to say one other thing. I don't know, because I've talked with several different people and I've witnessed it here as well. Satan is definitely on the war path right now. I'm here to tell you. Everybody that I've talked to that has Christ in their heart has been going through some rough times lately, and I do mean every single one of them. He's trying to get you to break away from Christ as much as he can, by any means he can, and he's doing it. I mean, I know the pastor's been having issues. He's had them for a few months now. I know Kenny's been having some issues. I've been going through my own issues on the side. Other people that I've talked to has been going through some issues, and they're hitting us from different directions and different things, and it's just eating us up. And the point behind what he's trying to do is to pull us away from the Bible, pull away from Jesus Christ and our Lord Savior. Don't give in. Yeah, there's going to be days where you're going to be down, and you may even want to give up. But you got to hold your faith. That's what I've been saying all along. You got to build your faith, because it's going to get worse. It ain't going to get better. We need to be prepared for that. All right, so chapter 2 of Joel. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like. neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as the horsemen shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of a fire that devours the stubble, and a strong people set in battle. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall be gathered blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the walls like men of war. They shall march every one on his way, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, and they shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun, the moon, and the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that execute his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto your Lord God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore shall they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therein. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into the land, barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the uttermost sea. And his stink shall come up, and as his ill shall savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree, and the vine do yield her strength. Be glad then, ye children of the vine, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause it to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine, and I will restore you I will restore you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommel worm with my great army which I sent to you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And then I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. All right. Let's go back. And like I say, this was one of the very first prophecies of the day of the Lord.
Excuse me.
One of the very first prophecies of the day of the Lord. And it was written, roughly 800 B.C., somewhere in that general neighborhood, almost 1,000 years before Christ. Nobody knows the exact date of when it was written because throughout the whole book, they don't give any time periods. But for the most part, they figured out it was somewhere around 800 B.C. But if you paid attention, it talks about all the things that I told you about. And it talks about the way the people are going to be acting. And if you've already noticed, some of those things have already started. And actually, some of them have been going on for a little bit. But it's getting more and more and more where people are turning away. And people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. People don't have any fear of God anymore. Of course, that's going to change abruptly, and we all know that's going to change abruptly. But they don't have any fear of God anymore. They don't pray to God anymore. You know, they're more interested in, you know, driving a car that runs on electric cars than they are going to church. So, but nonetheless, I'll digress from that. I'll be going down a whole road that I don't want to go down. All right, so blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for now it is at hand. It's just a little prelude to it. And before, we all know that before the day of the Lord happens, you'll have the trumpet sounds. In fact, you'll have six trumpet sounds. And then on the seventh trumpet is literally the start of the day of the Lord. So, and the day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more to even the years of many generations. It don't really specify what they're talking about right there, but if you compare this to the other books, it's talking about the end times. I think what they're talking about here is the great armies that's going to build up and that's going to be ready to attack Israel. You know, the great armies of Armageddon, where they're all gathering together because this is, you know, a great people and they're strong and there's never been a people greater at that point. And a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as of the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as of the appearance of horses. And whenever they talk about horses throughout the entire Bible, they're generally talking about an army, and of a horseman shall they run. Now, they also could be talking about, because we also know throughout based off the book of Revelations, they also could be talking about all the demons that's going to be released out of the pit. and because we know they're going to come out. There are going to be so many of them coming out that it's going to fill the sky with blackness and darkness with a cloud. In fact, that's actually probably what they are talking about, actually. And all these demons are going to come out, and they're going to be running them up, and they're going to be doing all the little things that they're going to be doing. And not only that, but at the same time, you know, you got the war in heaven that's going on, and all those fallen angels or the angels that's going to be kicked out are following Satan when he gets kicked out. You know, he draws one-third of them, and throughout the whole Bible, the angels of heaven are called stars, and it says the stars are falling. A lot of people think that it's literal stars that's where it's going to be falling, but I think in the grand scheme of things, what they're talking about was the stars falling. That's going to be the fallen angels or the angels being kicked out of heaven, because all that's going to happen all at one time. And all those bad angels are come down as well, plus the ones that was in the fiery pit. They're going to be coming up, and it's just going to be hell on earth, literally. Like the noise of chariots from the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Again, saying that they're set up for battle. And if you remember also that when it talks about the locust, which I think is just an apparition for a different saying for the demons that's coming up out of hell and the angels, that they're attacking the people. And you'll see further on down when we get into it, you know, that people wanted to die, but they couldn't die because of the stings of the locust, you know. And I think these locusts that they're talking about are the bad demons and bad angels or bad spirits or whatever you want to call them, however you wanted to define them, that are attacking people, and they're attacking them in such a way. And it's only attacking, by the way, the ones that took the mark of the beast. And it's attacking them and stinging them with their stingers and giving them great pain. And it's to such a point that they literally try to commit suicide or kill themselves or have somebody else kill them, whatever the case may be. And it says that they can't die. And we get into that just a little bit further down as we go further. Before their face, the people shall be much pained, and faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his way, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. In other words, they won't be killed. So, again, that's, I think, whenever you get into Revelation, it describes that a little bit better. It's letting you know that these people that are getting stung by these other creatures are not going to die. They shall run to and fro. And that's another statement that we hear about the end times, about people running to and fro. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. And people are already starting to do that. We've seen that back during the pandemic when all the riots and stuff were going. People were just busting windows and breaking into people's houses, stealing what they wanted, acting like a bunch of idiots out there. The earth shall quake. And if you've ever paid any attention to Revelations, there's three major earthquakes. The heavens shall tremble. It says that the heavens will open up like a scroll. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their light. So there it says the sun and moon is going to get darkened, and Revelation tells us that it also turned blood red. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth the word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide by it? And it tells us that In Revelation, it had to literally be cut back because it was so bad that if he didn't stop it, when he stopped it, there would be no flesh left. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. So he's saying, hey, all this is coming. I'm letting you know this is coming. You need to repent. You need to turn away from your evil ways and come back to me. Therefore, you won't have to go through this mess. You won't have to deal with it. He's pretty much letting them know, you know, almost 3,000 years ago, letting everybody know, if you turn away from your ways, you do what you're supposed to do, all this stuff that we're talking about here won't happen. But nope, they didn't want to listen. And for 3,000 years, we've been doing our own little thing. And now we're at the time where it's fixing to happen. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. He's telling them to tear your heart out. Repent. Turn your heart to God. And turn unto your Lord God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and with great kindness, and repenteth him the evil. In other words, turn away from your evil ways. Go back to God. He's slow to anger, and he's very gracious and merciful. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto your Lord God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. He's telling them, he's telling the watchman, blow your trumpets, let everybody know you need to come in, you need to repent, you need to have a fast, everybody needs to be gathered in an assembly, go to church, that way everybody can get prepared. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregations. Assemble the elders. In other words, we're supposed to be gathering everybody into the church, into the fold, letting everybody know what's coming so we can get everybody to repent. We're supposed to be working on telling people what's going on. We need to be getting them to repent. We need to get them back into the ways of the Lord and get them away from all this witchcraft crap. And those that suck the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. We're supposed to get them all the way down to the newborn babies. We need to get them into the church. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and let the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare the people, O Lord. And that's what we're supposed to be doing right now. We're supposed to be praying to God on a daily basis to help all these people, to give us the strength to help these people, to get them to turn to the day of the Lord. Or to turn to the Lord for repentance. O Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. And right now they're definitely ruling over the world. Wherefore should we say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therein. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. He's letting us know up front that when he does all this stuff, that when we're taken into his millennial reign and the eternity thereafter, that we're going to be taken care of. We're going to have food. We're going to have fine oil. We're going to have fine wine. We're going to have all the things that all the nice things that we might not necessarily have now. But I will remove far off from the northern army. I will drive him into the land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea and hinder part toward the uttermost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. That's talking about the Battle of Armageddon. He's telling, basically describing the entire Battle of Armageddon in just a couple verses there. That's the Battle of Armageddon. Whenever it's all said and done, there's going to be so many people that it's going to be the bridle's depth of a horse. and I think it's like 200 miles long, this Valley of Armageddon, or Megiddo, the Valley of Megiddo, and like 5 miles wide. So that's a lot of blood. That's a lot of people that were slain there, and it's definitely going to have a stench to it. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield her strength. He's reassuring us that after all these bad things are going to happen, that he's still going to take care of us. He's got to get rid of all the bad before it's going to happen, though. Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you former rain moderately, and he will cause it to come down with you, the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And just a little bit of history on that. Most people don't understand what they're talking about with the former rain and the latter rain. Israel is in basically a desert area. And it does get rain, but it only gets rain at certain times of the year. Generally, right after the crops are planted, and midway through the crop planting season, they get another set of rain, which is the former rain and the latter rain, the first rain and the last rain, basically. And that's what he's talking about. It's all got to do with the seasons of planting and all that stuff. And something else that I ought to bring forth and mention, this book of Joel, and most of what we're reading right now, has a dual fulfillment, by the way. Some of this stuff has already happened, and some of this stuff is going to happen again. Some of it has never happened, and it's going to only happen in the last days. But like I say, some of it's got a dual fulfillment. Just like this part right here is talking about the pastures and Israel looking real good and clean and having, you know, plenty of people and the people coming back into the land. Those things have already happened. Right now, Israel is like a Garden of Eden, so to speak, as far as the land goes. The people are not. They're pretty much turned away from God altogether. But the land itself has been reborn, you know. Before 1948, it wasn't nothing but barren desert, and now it's farmlands and all that stuff. They've got more water than they know what to do with, which they never had before. You know, the Dead Sea is not dead anymore. There's fish growing in there. I don't know if many people's heard about that, but there's actually fish. They've got fish in the Dead Sea now, which, by the way, is another prophecy of the end times. And all these things are starting to happen, and they're all happening right now. They found several fish in the Dead Sea, actually. So it's coming back to life. And again, that's another prophecy that's in the Bible, saying that in the last days that the Dead Sea would return to life, which it ultimately has. And by the way, the Dead Sea has not always been dead. It died whenever Sodom and Gomorrah, the whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing, because you wouldn't have had Sodom and Gomorrah and all the other cities of the valley built around a water, a big lake, or whatever you want to call it, a lake or sea, that didn't have water that they could drink. I mean, that's just, they wouldn't have done that. So whenever God destroyed the Sodom and Gomorrah, he also, although I'm assuming the runoff from the destruction is what killed the Dead Sea, because it also says that nobody would ever live there again in the way it has, even to this day. But I digress. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has forgiven you. He has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause it to come down for you, the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be filled with wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore you to the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm, my great army which I have sent among you. And again, this is one of the dual fulfillments that I was just talking about. the land in and of itself has been restored like it was promised right here in Joel. It has been restored. But we all know that whenever all the terrible things that are fixing to happen, Israel happen, it's going to be utterly destroyed again. And then after the fact, during the millennial reign, it's going to all be restored back. Christ will restore it because he's going to be sitting on his throne in Israel. And ye shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that he hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now this part right here, part of it's been fulfilled and part of it hadn't. They are eating plenty right now and they are satisfied. But for the most part, they are not praising the name of the Lord. They are not, you know, they actually are ashamed to even mention God over there in a lot of places. This one thing that most people don't realize, and I don't want to get off the subject real too much, but Tel Aviv, which is the capital of Israel, has the largest, and in fact it has the largest population of homosexuals of anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. And that's what I mean. They haven't really turned back to God. They're still shunning him. They're still doing their own little thing like they've always done. Being the people that they've always been. They just never understood, could never get it in their mind that God is real and they need to worship him instead of themselves. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants, upon the handmaids, and in those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fires and pillars of smoke. Now the first part of this that I just read also has a dual fulfillment. Part of it was took place during the day of Pentecost. When they were in the upper room, that's when the first part of this took place. And in fact, Peter, whenever he was given his sermon, he mentioned this very verse. But the rest of it hadn't been quite fulfilled yet, and those are going to be coming in the near future as well. You'll start seeing people, and this is one of the reasons, by the way, this is one of the reasons why God tells us in his word that we should question and test everybody, because there's going to be a lot of people out there, particularly in the very end of all this mess, that's going to be out there, you know, the false prophets and the false Christ and all these things that's going to be saying that they're talking to God, and God told them to do this, and God told them to do that. You need to be very wary of anybody that says these things and test them to verify that they're telling the truth, you know. And the way we do that is any spirit or anything that don't talk about Jesus Christ is not of God. And if you pay attention, particularly who's on TV and stuff, they never mention Jesus whenever they're talking about all these so-called prophecies and things. They say God. They don't say Jesus Christ. They say God said. Well, what a lot of people don't understand is the God of this world is Satan. And they very well may be getting their information from Satan. And whenever somebody says God anymore, I'm not going to lie to you. I just straight up, which God are you talking about? Because there's multiple gods out there. I mean, there's like 6,000 different so-called gods out there, but there's only one true God. And if they're not talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then they're not talking about the one true God. Most likely they're talking about Satan, because he is the manifestation of all those other 6,000 gods that's out there. And also upon the servants, upon the handmaids, and in those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens. And that's something that we're going to be seeing. And again, Satan is going to do the same thing. He's going to show wonders and great works. He's going to bring down fire from heaven to try to emulate what Elijah did. And blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord cometh. And something else, if you pay any attention to what Revelation says, all these things we're going to see, by the way, because the rapture, as best as I can tell, is going to happen right there where the sun and moon turn dark, because it says also at that point there's, you know, the few minutes of quiet in heaven. Well, the few minutes right there is, I think, is what the rapture actually is. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now, there's something a lot of people don't catch whenever they read this. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever, in other words, everybody that calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. This was written 1,000 years before Christ, and yet they're talking about Christ right there. 1,000 years before Christ, and they're talking about Christ. But that's who they're telling us to deal with. Whoever calls on the name of Jesus Christ, and whoever repents of their sin, because this whole thing is talking about repentance, is will be delivered from this day of the Lord. They will be delivered from it. After the fact, there's no hope for you. You're going through it, and I would venture to say there's very little chance of you coming out alive and going to heaven. And it shall come to pass and delivered, for in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And there's only going to be a remnant left, because most everybody else is going to wind up getting killed through all the various things that's going to happen. There's not going to be a whole heck of a lot of people that's truly going to wind up being raptured when it's all said and done. There's not going to be very many at all. And, you know, a lot of the churches out there teach that there's going to be millions and millions and millions of people raptured. But in the grand scheme of things, I'm not saying there won't be millions and millions and millions of people going to heaven. But most of the ones that are true Christians are going to stand their line, and they're going to wind up being beheaded and killed for their faith and belief. And they're not going to actually live long enough to see most of this come to fruition. All right, I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor now. Everybody have a blessed day, and may God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Dennis. All right. Had a good service this morning. Some good teaching, good word. So let us all praise the Lord. Praise him throughout this day. Give him thanks for this day and for each and every breath we get. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come, Father, to thank you for this day, to thank you for this morning, and for the message this morning, Father. Now, Father, Kenny and Dennis and myself, Father, we need you every moment of our lives. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need him at all times in our lives. And we're asking you to use us, Father, in great and mighty ways. You know our situation. But you know where you want us, how you want us, and you know the way. Show us, Lord, so that we will always know that we are where you want us to be, doing what you want us to do, and speaking and saying what you want us to say. Because, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to do our speaking and teaching for us. Not us, but him, as he works through us. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But more than that, we pray, Father, for all of them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours that has turned its back and walked so far away, bringing so much evil upon its own people, Father, help us to remove from our government those that done this and to replace them with ones that will work for you and for the Lord Jesus Christ, helping us to get your word out, working with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was established, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list that we have here, as each name is called, touch them, Father. Fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, his wife, Tina, brothers in Christ. Father, we thank you for all of them, and we pray that they move closer each and every service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And each and every time that they'll look into your word, may they grow stronger. And Father, we pray for the Glory Bound Church, although it has changed its name to the Restitution Faith Center. But Father, we still keep in our prayers. May it be filled with the Holy Spirit to bring your word to people in that area. Randy Johnson in the Church of God of Brandenburg, Father, keep both of them strong and keep both filled to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. That Meade County General Baptist Church, Father, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, each and every church, we keep praying for them, Father, and we pray that they'll not only be lighthouses, but also places of refuge. And Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, that little Full Gospel Church of God there in Akron, Father, these all hold in the hollow of your hand. Make them strong, filled with thy Holy Spirit. My three friends in Pakistan, Maroon Islam, Barak Mishai, Zephyrin Ivory. Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mondillo and her mother, Sue and David Branson, Palin Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, and Karen. Father, all of these stand in need of a touch of the healing hand of Jesus. Father, we know that we are healed by his stripes. I'm praying for those stripes upon each one of these that has been called and named. Father, that not only do they need healing physically, but there are some that needs healing spiritually. Fill them, Father, to overflowing. Now, Father, be with us as we go our separate ways for the day. Bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So until then, we'll say, have a great day. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bye-bye now. All right.